let's do the thing.
Why is it criminal to eat Fruity Pebbles?
Because they're disgusting.
Feels like as good a note as any to start off. I like Fruity Pebbles.
No, they're gross and they turn your milk like an awful weird purple brown and they leave this film on your tongue and they're fucking awful.
They're delicious. I think you're just so anti-John Cena that you hate Fruity Pebbles.
I hated Fruity Pebbles well before John Cena was even a thing.
John Cena was always a thing, sir.
No, I've hated them since I was... I've hated them since before Stone Cold Steve Austin was a thing.
When God was making the universe and he created light, the first thing he said when he created light was, "Oh, John Cena, I didn't see you there."
Because you can't see him.
Because you can't see him. Welcome to the show, everybody. That's an accurate note of what our show's like.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 38 of Room Full of Nerd Stuff.
If we were in the same room, we would have, like, leaned back and pointed at each other.
Oh my god, Knuckles, yeah!
I'm gonna close everything on my computer that I don't need right now.
Just waiting for, like, Skype to hang up, like, my...
I just gotta close...
Oh my god, it's, I found the first Christmas shit out in stores today.
Oh god, yeah, I saw that shit too last weekend.
Hey everybody, I posted a picture on Instagram and I got a good like 50-50, like half the people are like, fuck that noise, that's ridiculous, and the other half are like, come on, don't be such a Scrooge. I'm not being a Scrooge, it's September.
Yeah, it's not even the end of September.
No.
Yeah. I saw that this last weekend going to the mall, and they've got Christmas stuff out at the Sears, and it's like, no, no.
Yeah. Target has, they have their Halloween section, but it's just such an afterthought. There's, like, two aisles of costumes and then some really shitty, like, tiny little pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then as I'm just, like, wandering around, I turn an aisle, and there's a fucking snowman. Are you fucking kidding me?
So you don't want to build a snowman?
No, I don't want to build a snowman, which is good because I live in Georgia. And even when we had snow, you couldn't build a proper snowman.
We don't get much snow here either.
Yeah.
So every now and again, like every fifth year, we'll have a blizzard and everyone will lose their minds because they don't know how to operate in snow.
That's how it is here. Like every 3, 4, 5 years, we get like... I mean, not even, you know, it, last year was the first we'd had in like 4 years. Snow.
You had Blizzmageddon, which is still your like status on Skype.
Is it?
Yes.
I was about to say the most notable thing to come out of Blizzmageddon was a flatulent cow and the meat potato, which we were both like, we'll change our Twitter names and next week we'll probably change it back. And like 9 months later,
you made a whole other account for flatulent cow.
I did, but my name on Twitter is also Flatulent Cow, so.
So just have another Twitter account out there. How many is that now?
I've lost count. It's a lot. It's a whole lot. Yeah. Fuck Christmas. I'm not ready for it.
See, I'm not mad at Christmas. I'm just mad that it's not even Halloween yet. And we're already like, hey, Santa Claus. No, Santa, go home. This is what like Nightmare Before Christmas warned us about. Don't invade each other's holidays. Bad things happen.
I should just go tomorrow and stand in the aisle of Christmas shit with a sign that says, you learned nothing from Jack Skellington.
Even better if you dress as Jack Skellington.
What's this? This bullshit in the aisle. Mike, what have you been up to this week, man?
I've been working on all the things.
All the things.
Trying to get some projects done that I wanted to finish before October, which they are done now.
Woo!
So, yay.
And for those of you just joining us, it's not October.
It's not October. It is September 26th.
At 6 p.m. Yes.
Yes. No, I've been doing that. Edited more of that Zombino Takeo Left 5 Dead show thing, whatever that is. And I'm happy that it's starting to fucking cool down here.
Yes.
And TV is coming back.
Yeah, it is a million degrees in my room right now because I accidentally like took a nap and left everything electronic on. Like there's a noticeable difference between leaving the PS3 on and not having it on for a few hours. It's ridiculous. But outside, yes, it has been like in the 70s and it is lovely. Almost hoodie weather, not quite, but
Not
almost.
quite, no, but it's getting there.
It won't be long now, and that makes Chris happy.
Yes.
'Cause that's also gonna make Chris's power bill considerably cheaper. I am excited for all. I am also excited about TV. I saw you bitching about sitcoms on Twitter the other day. Now, I don't really watch many sitcoms anymore. I think the only one I really watch right now is The Goldbergs.
Well, no, I don't. That one is more of a modern style sitcom, which I've
Right.
grown to really enjoy. I've said for the last couple of years that Modern Family is the best show on television right now, at least the funniest show on television right now.
I've not watched all of it. I watched most of the first two seasons and really enjoyed it, and then just never finished catching up.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows. And same with The Middle. It's very much like that. But no, it's the and Chuck Lorre seems to have just a monopoly on this version of the sitcom where
The kind of
it's
single camera setup sitcom.
yeah, the which I mean it's a sort of classic way of doing it where you got the three walls and the camera and the laugh track, but I don't know if it's just because Chuck Lorre is doing them that I hate them. Because it's like I can go back and watch older sitcoms and still enjoy them, and so I don't know if it's just the writing or what it is, but yeah, if it's come out in the last 5 to 8 years, it is just shit.
I mean, if we're talking just Chuck Lorre sitcoms, isn't that just Big Bang Theory and 2 and a Half
I mean,
Men?
just Two and a Half Men, Mike and Molly.
Never watched it.
He's got a couple more.
But so basically, if it's a sitcom on CBS, you don't like
Yes.
it.
But I mean, those are the only places I see really doing that kind of sitcom anymore.
It's a tired formula. It's one that needs a break.
It really does.
The look of it just kind of feels cheaper now compared to everything else. There was a time when that was the way to go, but now it's been so long. That being said, I don't watch any that are styled like that, so it doesn't really bother me. But that could be because I don't really watch CBS.
Well, I mean, the only television that I have access to is sort of a shared television within the house, and that's what's on is these just awful sitcoms, and I sit there and like my parents are staring at the television, not even really paying attention to the thing, but they get pissed if I suggest that we watch any fucking thing else. And I'm just sitting there feeling my brains melting through my ears at the stupidity of these shows, and I have no idea
Yeah.
how people are watching them.
So remember, help Mike move out and get his own TV set up. Patreon.com/ManitsuComics.
And then I ask, like, what do you see in the show? Why are you watching it? And I either get it's either just mindless entertainment or I'm not really paying attention to it. Like, well, can I turn on something else? No, this is what we watch. Or there's nothing else on. There's 500 fucking channels. There's something else on.
I think everybody's parents are like that. My parents have their shows that they watch, and then when they aren't watching those shows, it's boom, right back on Fox News Channel.
Yeah, I got yelled at the other night because I've said that I hate Rules of Engagement.
Terrible show.
It really is. It's really just formulaic and stupid. And it's
Yeah.
David Spade just being fucking David Spade. And so it's like I'm saying, okay, can we not watch this show because it offends me on a creative level and how bad it is. Okay, so what do? We turn on the news, and it's this puppy got dropped into a meat grinder. The
Oh my
children,
God.
the trail of blood left led from the school bus into the church. Just awful shit. And then I'm like, can we not watch this because it's making me want to kill myself? And well, what the hell do you suggest we watch? Like, I don't want to watch stupid sitcoms or depressing news. Like I said, we have 500 channels. There is something else on. But yeah, and it's like I noticed that just these, it's just all the shows that are the three walls and the camera are just so terribly written, and I don't know if it's just the writing or if it's the formula of the show.
It is. It's both.
It's both.
It's lazy writing and it's people not wanting to take chances. I don't miss when we didn't have cable. I do miss it, rather. We only have cable now because we got a hell of a deal on it and we could afford it. Before that, we just had like Netflix and Hulu, and I had WWE Network, and I still do. I resubbed that finally. But I find since we got cable, I put it on the one channel that just plays music videos all the time, and I just DVR the shows that I was watching on Hulu.
I find that I'm mostly DVRing shows and waiting till everyone else is either in bed or just out for the day, and then I'll go and watch those.
I mean, even now, I'd almost prefer to DVR it because then I can go back and watch it later and don't have to watch the fucking commercials.
And there are many.
There are so many.
Most of the hour shows that I watch, I imagine, would be your normal half hour show if it wasn't for all the fucking commercials.
Yeah, current state of TV is terrible. That being said, I haven't really happy with the premieres I've watched so far this year. I just finished watching the Goldbergs premiere. It was good. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was really good this season so far, this premiere.
I just finished watching both of those shows. I've never really gotten into the Goldbergs, but it's in between The Middle and Modern Family, which I've been watching since the beginning of both shows, and so
Right.
I caught it, and
It's
it's
a fun
certainly not the
show.
worst show on television.
Yeah, it's a fun show because it kind of embraces that kind of nerdy pop culture that you and I are both a part of. But at the same time, I don't feel like it's beating me over the head with it like, a Chuck Lorre show would do.
Yeah, but a lot of the things that bother me about the Goldbergs is that it's like it seems to rub your nose in the fact that it takes place in the 80s.
You're just pissed because you don't have any Booberry cereal.
I think that by the time I was able to actually eat solid cereal, Booberry was no longer a thing.
Booberry is a thing right now, sir. What is your excuse? Go buy you some Booberry.
Is it a
I
thing?
will pause. Well, every Halloween they re-release those.
Oh. Well, it's not
So
Halloween yet, so I can't
they're
get
out.
it.
They're out. I saw them today. They put Booberry and Yummy Mummy and Count Chocula and what was the other one? Booberry, Yummy Mummy, Count Chocula, Frankenberry. Yeah, they put all those out.
Which Booberry sort of works. Frankenberry does.
I can't say shit. I've never had any of those.
Well, I don't know. I'm not talking about like how they taste or anything, just the sort of puns on the name.
Yeah,
Frankenberry doesn't
Frankenberry
really
special.
work.
Well, I don't really know what you would do.
Just not do it. You have Booberry.
It's
Why do
not
you need Frankenberry?
because it's you need Frankenstein for. I mean, I guess you could call it the Monsteros or something, and be that asshole. Hi, Matt. Hope you're listening.
Excuse me, Frankenstein was the name of the doctor, not the creature.
Should God forbid we ever have kids, that would be us in the store. No, you can't have Frankenberries because that's not Frankenstein on that fucking box.
Once they make Dr. Frankenberry, then we'll talk.
Frankenberry did not slave away at fucking evil scientist you to be Frankenberry. He is a doctor.
No, I pissed off Matt because I said that the monster is called Frankenstein the way that a painting is called a Monet. What? Well, he created it, right? Yeah. So it's like an artist's work. So he would be a Frankenstein at the very least. No, shut up.
Somewhere Matt's eyes just twitching.
But yes.
So now CBS is getting the Supergirl series. You saw that, right? Because that seems to be the current trend of TV, just flood television with comic book related properties.
Well, that being said, I really enjoyed Gotham.
I didn't hate Gotham. Too many villains.
But they're not
Too many kind of
villains.
like too many kind of sly winks to the beginning of villains.
Yeah.
Did you catch what I am assuming will probably wind up coming back to be the Joker at some point?
Was it the. No, because that was Riddler.
No, the comedian telling bad jokes about people dying.
Oh, shit.
Because in the comics, that was his shtick as a comedian. All his jokes were terrible, and they were all about people dying.
So he's gonna be the Joker.
I don't know. I just kind of was watching it, and I caught that, and I was like, well, I guess if we see him show up again, we'll know.
I hope not. I can't really tell if this is supposed to take place in the Nolanverse or not.
I don't know. I
It sort
my
of
thing is.
seems like it's leaning that way without overtly saying, yes, this is part of the same continuity.
So a typical Fox production.
Pretty much.
My biggest issue with it, and I said this before the show even came out, I'm behind Gotham. I just don't want the story to have the primary subplot be, look what a nutty child Bruce Wayne is.
Which it almost
It's like,
like.
so the entire episode is, look what, not even like one episode in and they're already like, look how fucking nutty this kid is.
Yeah, when they did the preview for like next week's episode and he's sticking his hands in fire and shit and.
Yeah. The way I would have hoped they would have done it, and they're obviously not going to go this route, would have been to have Bruce Wayne just kind of be a background character that you always hear about and you never really see but once or twice, and then the final season you could have Bruce Wayne missing be the key plot. But obviously the whole thing is going to be Bruce Wayne is fucking nutty and Jim Gordon has to kind of slyly nod to the fact that they're going to be best friends in the future.
But they won't know that they're best friends because Gordon won't know that he's Batman.
Which just makes Gordon look like an idiot. He solved all this shit, but 30 years from now, he's not gonna piece that together. God, you remind me of this kid I just spent the past 30 years trying to convince not to do all the shit you do. Wait a minute.
It's like in Dark Knight Rises at the very beginning when they're like, Batman hasn't been seen for 8 years. Also, for 8 years, Bruce Wayne has been holed up in his mansion and no one's seen him. And no one's making a connection here.
No one's gone, huh?
It's not that Bruce Wayne is the smartest detective in Gotham. He's a man of average intelligence in a city full of idiots.
Well, there was all those like newspaper photoshops after the Dark Knight Rises came out. Bruce Wayne, Batman die in completely unrelated
Yes.
incidents on same day. Huh.
Yeah, but
It's
no, for what it was, I thought people were bitching about it way too much. I thought it was
No,
entertaining. It was it's what was on the box. It's what was advertised. I can't really be mad at it. I'll give it a couple more episodes. It has my interest at the very least.
yeah, it's not, I'm not gonna stop watching it. It's on thin ice with me already, but I will say the comics have kind of, going back to that, the comics have kind of dealt with the Jim Gordon looking like a huge fucking idiot thing. At least they did before the New 52. I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's still canon. They just had him outright. I think it was one of the No Man's Land issues, where Batman was just gonna unmask and tell him who he was, and Gordon turned around and he's like, "I don't fucking try to figure that out because I don't want to know."
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, so at least there's some writer out there who's like, "We've got to make Gordon look like less of an idiot."
He just doesn't want to know that it's Bruce Wayne. It's fine. It's okay.
And then, I mean, of course, in that same vein of thought, that also kind of comes from the old line of thinking, which was that Gordon totally knows, he just doesn't care.
Well, also, like, if they, because Batman is so on this, like, sometimes he's the city's savior, and the other times the police are trying to kill him. It's like, this way, if he doesn't know who he is, then he never has to, like, convince people not to kick down Bruce Wayne's door, and,
Yeah.
like, you're Batman, and you're arrested because you didn't kill Joker, whatever.
But yeah, Gotham was good. I'm looking forward to the Arrow premiere. I'm looking forward to Constantine. I saw the Flash pilot already, and it's really good. Have we? I don't think we've talked about that.
Go for it. Gush about Flash because I know that you love him and
I'm not gonna gush about it. It's really good though. I would definitely recommend, because it does something that Arrow and Gotham didn't do. It is clearly a comic book series based on a comic book.
but Gotham's based on Batman.
No, I mean, it is, like, very comic booky, very kind of bright and whimsical, and people are in costumes, and it's good.
People are in costumes in Arrow. He wears a hood, and he's got black face paint.
He thankfully got rid of the black face paint last season.
But now everyone's going to know who he is.
He wears a mask.
It's a secret
now.
Identity for a reason.
And that black grease paint sure did the trick. God, I hate black grease paint shit. They did that on Smallville, and I hated it. Well, I hated a lot of things about Smallville to begin with, but the black grease paint was on that list.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I've kind of avoided Arrow, and why I almost avoided Gotham, just because I gave Smallville a chance, and it's like, this show's so stupid.
Smallville was like a really promising first season, and then it just... for 9 years.
But it gave us Kristen Krug.
It had a very, very well-cast array of attractive Canadian ladies, yes.
But that's just because they're Canadian. There's no ugly Canadian women.
Challenge accepted. no, Arrow got a little more comic booky during the second season as well. That's a show that got way better in its second season. Hell, even towards the end of its first season, it got way better. Those first few episodes were dragging ass, though. I mean, that's really it for this season. I watched the same few shows. I've got a lot more this season just because of all the comic book stuff, but most new stuff doesn't really interest me.
Even the other shows that I watch, you don't watch, so you can't really talk about them.
I'm trying to think if I've really watched anything else this year. I don't think so. I've got the pilot to Blackish on my DVR. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if I like it or not. I wasn't interested at first, and I was like, oh, shit, is that Lawrence Fishburne? All right, I'll record that. I'll give that an episode.
It was pretty good.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I was going to stick around to watch it either, but it was on, and I was like, eh, what the hell, I'll give it a shot.
It'll probably be one of those that I record a few episodes of, and then we'll see from there.
I don't think it's going to last very long. I don't know how many jokes they can wring out of the idea of a rich black man in a white man's world.
Probably more than we would realize, but we'll see.
Yeah.
ABC had canceled one of their best sitcoms from last season. I don't know if you ever watched Trophy Wife from last season, but that was a great show.
Mm-mm, I never saw it.
And that's the problem. That's why it's not around this season.
I only vaguely remember the name. I couldn't tell you who was in it. I don't know what it's about.
It had Malin Ackerman in it.
Okay.
You have no idea who that is, do you?
Yeah, she was fuck.
Silk Spectre?
She was in Silk Spectre and Watchmen. See, I knew who she was. Shut your face.
Watchmen is a role that I would not try to judge her by. She's way better than that movie.
I've only seen her in that, and she was in a couple episodes of Suburgatory. So I don't know anything else she's really been in. She was like the farmhand's wife on Harold and Kumar.
That's right, she was. She was on Children's Hospital. I don't know if that still airs on Adult Swim.
I don't know, because I don't watch anything on Adult Swim. Because I have taste.
Evidently not. You don't like Fruity Pebbles.
That shows how much taste I have.
They're fruitylicious.
The disgusting slime that those things create is awful.
Oh my god. Moving on. Hey, I played the Smash Brothers demo on 3DS.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Does it play like Smash Brothers?
Plays like Smash Brothers.
Moving on.
I guess judging from that, you feel the same way I do. I like Smash Brothers, and I like playing it with people, but it has never held my interest long enough to play it more than a couple minutes by myself.
Both Melee and Brawl. Melee, because I had this weird completionist thing about it where I had to like do all the target mini games and shit.
Yeah.
And Brawl, I really enjoyed like the adventure mode.
The Space Emissary? Or Subspace Emissary thing?
Where it was like...
I thought nobody liked that.
It was like a story mode thing. I enjoyed
it. Yeah. I played a little bit of it. I didn't hate it, but you are one of only two other people I have spoken with who have been like, no, it's pretty good, actually.
I mean, it doesn't have much replay value. Once you go through it, you've done it, but
yeah.
I had fun with it, so... Whatever.
Smash Brothers 3DS and Wii U won't have any kind of story mode. It'll just be fighting. Fighting!
Then I really have very little interest in it.
Yeah. It, I,
at least as a single-player concept.
It's kind of the opposite problem we were talking about, where Nintendo's real good about only releasing like one or two of their core characters' titles on each system. Since the N64, there's been a Smash Brothers on every system, and since the N64, Smash Brothers hasn't really changed up in formula.
Mm-mm. I mean, I guess you like you don't gotta fix what ain't broke. It's still a widely popular game, and it's a fun party game. But like, I've still got last generations.
Yep. And I mean, like, the demo had a Mega Man in it, and Mega Man was cool to play with. It was fun. But I'm not going to go buy a new copy. It'll be one that when I find it for like $20 in 10 years, I might pick it up. Mm. God knows it's going to take 10 years, drops $20. I think Brawl still goes for like 40.
Yeah.
Fucking Nintendo.
Then you're going to have to get a Wii U as well.
By then they'll be on the like Nintendo 364, which will be just an N64 with three screens.
Isn't that what the 3DS is? Except it's only got two screens?
You're ruining the marketing plan.
Hey, play Star Fox 64 and Ocarina of Time in 3D. I played those games 10 years ago. Thanks, but no thanks.
Is Nintendo's current philosophy just keep putting more screens on it? Like, Nintendo has the approach to consoles that, like, Schick has to razors?
Yeah. They don't need to actually release any new games if they just put more screens on their old shit.
The new Nintendo console with five screens. Two on the controller, and your TV is bisected in half, and then it links up to your smartphone.
Physically bisected. There will be a physically line of bisected. Fire going up your screen that you splits your television in two.
You open the box, and there's the console, the controller, and a scimitar that you use to cut your TV. And parents groups are going to be pissed because they're going to be like, oh my god, this console will have such violent games. No, a scimitar is fine, but they get the games, man.
Why does it need to break our television in two? Because we need more screens, and we can't expect people to buy more televisions.
Your dad's going to be like, Mike, did you buy that new Nintendo console? And you're going to be like, no, I'm just so fucking sick of the goddamn Big Bang Theory. You're going to be that asshole who's like, I bought it just for the scimitar. It's still the console on eBay for double the price. Mark this podcast down, listeners. The future of gaming right here. When Nintendo releases the 5D64, I want some money.
Well, maybe by then they'll get the rights back from Rare to release GoldenEye on new stuff.
Valid point that was brought up today. If Rare had never made GoldenEye, we would all be talking a lot more about Perfect Dark.
It was a much better game than GoldenEye.
I never played Perfect Dark.
It was, for all intents and purposes, it was Perfect Dark. It was GoldenEye, rather.
Perfect Dark.
It was very much Perfect Dark.
Swing Mario is very much Mario.
But there was like twice as many weapons. The weapons had dual modes to them. And like multiplayer on that was just so much more fun. And it had like the old GoldenEye maps on it too.
Right.
So yeah, I loved me some Perfect Dark.
Guns with multiple modes is a big deal then. You didn't see, like, that's in every game now. Secondary fire options on your guns. Mm-hmm. But you didn't see that very often back then.
No. I always, in multiplayer, would go out of my way to find the laptop gun.
Yeah.
Which, its primary mode was just to shoot, but then the secondary mode, you folded it up like a laptop and just threw it out into the room, and anybody who walked past it, the gun would pop out and start firing at them.
Huh.
That was my favorite gun in that game.
Mike's getting a little nostalgic now. We're gonna have to buy Perfect Dark on Live Arcade and play that after Mortal Kombat, I guess. You know it's on Live Arcade, right? I assume it's still on Live Arcade.
Like the original, not the like that stupid Shadow Complex or whatever that was.
The original, yes. It's like an HD remix or something.
I'll give it a look.
We'll look into that later.
I've not been very impressed with most HD remixes of games, so.
What? No, HD remixes are the future. Just wait until they're going to look so good on all five screens. HD remix. Wait until you release the Room Full of Nerd Stuff HD remix.
Oh, that was the thing that was pissing me off about the 3DS when it first got released. It's like, okay, so we've got Star Fox 64 and Ocarina of Time. These are very old games. Why can't we have new games? People are like, well, now you can experience those old games on a new console. I have the old fucking console. I can experience them anytime I want. I want new shit.
As I heard somebody once famously say, they were talking about like Ocarina of Time on 3DS and on the Wii, on the virtual console. They're like, no, fuck it. My kid's going to experience that shit at the same shitty interface I did on an N64. Fuck that.
Yes. Yes. If you want to play these games, play them as intended on an N64.
You are going to suffer through that the same way we did.
I didn't suffer through it. I fucking loved it.
I still hate that N64 controller.
Now that was...
I can hear you just like seething. Just fucking awesome controller.
No, that's like, those games were meant to be played that way, and if you disagree, you're wrong. So,
and that's all there is to it.
Yep. And Nintendo, start releasing some new fucking games. I'm tired of seeing the same old shit released.
Hey, they've got that Squid multiplayer paintball game coming up soon.
Yay.
Which, interestingly, I was reading about that. It was originally going to be like a Mario title. And they were like, no, let's make it a new property, which is something you never hear about Nintendo saying.
What?
Normally it's like, let's put Mario in that.
I'm still grumpy at Nintendo for not releasing a Star Fox game on the Wii after repeatedly saying that they had one in development.
Well, it's coming out on the Wii U. You just have to buy a new console.
I'll wait until it actually comes out to buy the console. I've been burned before.
You can arrange all your screens on your 5D 64 to look like a cockpit.
Sweet.
Yeah.
It's totally worth destroying my television.
Unfortunately, the cockpit is slippies.
Eh.
So the whole time through your 5D 64 control pad, which is just a giant speaker with two buttons, you hear Slippy.
You just hear him screaming at you.
Just screaming at you.
Fuck, no!
Nintendo's not listening to this because they're probably like writing down, five screens that can be arranged by a cockpit, giant speaker controller.
Slippy, everyone loves Slippy.
I didn't know people love Slippy so much. Hey! We should probably talk a little wrestling since there was just a pay-per-view. But first, did you see my tweet about the Sting DVD?
Yes, I did. I'll let you talk about it.
WWE has already betrayed Sting. I have to go out and buy this now. I wasn't going to buy it because it was like, the matches will be on the network or they're on YouTube. Why do I give a shit? It's not got a documentary with it. But I love collecting oddities, and the Sting DVD has a production error on it. That's kind of a big production error.
Well,
now some people have already kind of jumped up and said, well, in their defense, it's not a Steve Borden DVD, it's a Sting DVD. So technically speaking,
it still was a Sting.
It was a Sting. There's three pictures of Sting. I'm using finger quotes since none of you can see me. On the back of the box, but one of them is not Sting, it's Sting. It's the fake NWO Sting,
yeah.
Jeff Farmer, which is kind of funny that they just, fuck it, looks close enough to me, slapped it on there.
Well, the thing was, like, as soon as you tweeted that picture at me, I was looking at it, and I could tell immediately that it wasn't Sting, but I couldn't tell that it was the NWO Sting, because it's also a weird picture of him from Japan.
Yeah, the thing that
for a second I thought that it was the Demon.
That would have been great.
I'm looking at his tights and I had to like look up pictures of the Demon and I was like, well, that pattern kind of looked similar. Was it the Demon? And no, it was fake Sting. But yeah.
But it was like Steve Borden was never that big as Jeff Farmer is in that picture. It's like,
No, he was not. But
so I don't know if it'll be corrected in later prints. I imagine it might. I'm going to try to pick up a copy now just so I have it. Because I love the kind of like weird oddity shit like that to collect. But I thought that was hilarious.
I wonder if Steve Borden actually requested that. Like, Jeff Farmer will not be forgotten. I want him on my DVD.
And then he like climbed back up into the rafters and left.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine that's how he appears for every... from the rafters, and then he's just like signs the contract and right back up.
He like smashes through that cork paneling ceiling in the office.
We have personally, in just the past 2 minutes, made Sting far more interesting than he has been over the past few years. It's kind of like the Shockmaster.
Him busting through the shitty cork tile ceiling of Vince McMahon's office is far more entertaining than anything he did in TNA.
Somebody also proposed, they were like, what if we just pretend from now on that T-shirt Sting was also fake NWO Sting and Steve Borden never went to TNA? And everybody kind of unanimously was like, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Sadly, that's like 10 years of his career that like no longer exists.
Well, nobody really saw it. It was TNA. Yeah. Who supposedly...
just wait until they go out of business and then we can get the real career of Sting DVD.
Where WWE goes in and like photoshops the WWE logo on all those TNA turnbuckles. They have Taz re-record all those entrances so Bully Ray can be Bubba Ray again.
Now by then they'll own it all, so it'll be fine. They won't need to change any of that shit.
And don't forget the golden boy of TNA, the phenomenal Hardcore Holly.
AJ Styles never killed his family.
He's got time. They're still young. I was. They're still young. Like it's gonna happen. I wake up Friday morning and they're like, Atlanta-based wrestler AJ Styles on the news. I'm like, oh fuck.
He's gonna wait till AJ Styles turns 40 and it's like, oh, now he's old and crazy. He's gonna kill his family.
He went to bed at 39 fine and he woke up at 40 with this real bad eye twitch. Oh my god. I was going to say Dixie Carter has supposedly addressed the locker room again and supposedly has a bunch of networks in the running to pick up Impact Wrestling, including WGN America, the Velocity Network, and two other unnamed networks. Also, Spike TV is supposedly not one of those networks that is in the running, but Spike has publicly said negotiations are ongoing. But as we've mentioned before, of course they said that. They're not going to come out and say, no, this show's not going to be on our network much longer. Don't fucking watch it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's also, I think, until, like, the contract is up or TNA officially signs with someone else, they're, like, the only thing they can actually legally say is that negotiations are ongoing.
Yeah. So. Make sure to watch new episodes of TNA on the Nerd Network starting in October. Just kidding. It'll never start.
Well, he'd be a better commentator than Taz.
Oh, man, what's Bully Ray doing, man? That's a fucking Street Fighter ripoff.
But Bully's not even really with him anymore.
I know. He's on a... last I saw, he was on, like, a per-day deal, which is... I also saw they're mainly doing, like, day-to-day deals with everybody because they don't want to sign anybody to a long-term contract because they don't know what they're about to be doing.
Right. They don't know how long-term TNA is going to be around anymore.
But then I also saw where he was potentially injured. At their last live event they did. Some kind of ladder spot went bad. Everybody said Jeff Hardy should have been fucked up afterwards, too. But they actually had to come out and walk a Bully to the back. Which he could just be. He could just be kayfabbing us.
I hate that. I hate that word.
And I'm going to bring it up every podcast.
This is the last episode of this show.
That's right. Starting next week, we're going to be kayfabulous.
That's going to be your new Raw Reactor.
My new Raw Reactor, K-Fabulous.
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 You're a terrible person.
I don't think you and I could do two podcasts a week, largely because if we don't talk about wrestling, what are we going to talk about on the slow weeks?
So, just you see Gotham? No. No, that show lost me.
So it was rewatching Firefly again. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you see the Loot Crate unboxing for this month's up on youtube.com/homeworldvideo?
Mm-mm.
He sent... this was Loot Crate. There's a little Mal Reynolds vinyl figure that's pretty cool. There's a Tribble. There's a Han Solo and Carbonite. But there's some pretty cool stuff. But then there's also some fake Firefly bank money. I'm like, so Loot Crate has just resorted to sending me fake prop money. Like, it's not even, like, prop money from the show. It's just fake prop money.
So, what?
Yep. Yep.
Huh.
Thanks, Loot Crate. All right, so Night of Champions was last Sunday.
Yeah.
Another pay-per-view where I fell asleep for the last two matches. Noticing a trend here, WWE. You put Randy Orton on my screen and I'm out.
I gotta bring up the card again.
Motherfucker, Randy Orton is better than fucking NyQuil. He will put your ass to sleep. Just funny because Punk was the one with the go to sleep.
Nah. Randy Orton with a nap out of nowhere.
Just imagine he says that and then he just like angrily like throws himself in the bed and starts snoring. Do you remember a few years ago when the Randy Orton documentary came out, Evolution of a Predator, I think it was called? There was that scene of him like walking through the house and he's giving his daughter a piggyback ride.
Right, and you kept saying he's
I
gonna
just
do her
kept
in
waiting.
RKO.
He's fucking RKO. Just like gonna pop that kid in the air. Just kept waiting for it. Oh my God, that sneaky snake, Randy Orton. God damn it. No pre-show match this time. Instead, they had Christian come out and interview Jericho because Jericho was going away.
Which that was a thing.
Yeah.
I
I
saw
loved how
them
they
I just
kind
saw them kind of trying to outquip each other. It's like I can do anything else until the show starts.
Hey, you guys got 30 minutes. Go have fun, guys. You've already paid for Christian.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So no pre-show this time. Just the usual nonsense. AJ kind of I did like AJ kind of wandering up and cutting that promo on the pre-show.
I didn't see that part.
It was like right before they did the peep show bit. Like right at the 30-minute mark, right after they had played the Paige promo, which was also really good. They had a pre-recorded Paige promo. And they cut back to like Renee and Big Show and Alex Riley all talking over there, and AJ just kind of wanders up, cuts a promo, chit chats with everybody for a second, and leaves. Because she's crazy.
Yeah, when I turned it on, it was already in the middle of the peep show, so I didn't see any of that.
You got to enjoy the full force of the peep show, though.
No, because I just turned it on and walked away until the actual pay-per-view started.
You're like, oh, I guess I got a half an hour to kill. I'm gonna take a dump.
Yeah.
Go get this out before the show starts. First off, and I got the whole thing, and I got numbers here too, so we'll go over times. Again, much like the past few, a 3-hour pay-per-view with not a lot of wrestling on it. I will say the pay-per-views are feeling more and more like episodes of Raw.
Well,
Or I'm sorry, the special events.
I do prefer the pay-per-views in that there are like more matches on them.
Right.
It's more about the wrestling than the Gaga. I understand that the Gaga needs to be there, but so much of Raw is dedicated to just nonsense.
Yeah. So kicking off the show, Goldust and Stardust defeated the Usos to win the tag titles in a 13:27 match, or 13-minute 27-second long match, the second longest match of the night. No, the third longest. I'm sorry. I liked Goldust's look for this. I like that face design for that.
It was. There were a lot of people saying that it was blackface and it was racist.
It was not.
Like, that is not. Just painting your face black is not in itself blackface.
No. And blackface does not have the gold flame detail on the side of your face either. So, I hope to God that this is going to inevitably lead to the return of proper Cody Rhodes. I'm going to keep saying that until it happens.
And you're going to be saying it for a long time because I think that the Dust Brothers are where they want to take these guys.
I really hope they come up with a better tag name for them that
Yeah.
doesn't have the word team in it.
Golden Stardust.
They should put the bunny with them so they can be the Dust Bunny.
No. Oh no. No, because Dustin is going to retire and that's going to leave Cody as Stardust and then all they have left is the bunny. No! You've cursed us, Chris. You've cursed us and you've cursed Cody Rhodes.
Stardust and Peter Cottontail making their way to the ring. Good match. Sheamus retained against Cesaro. That match ran 13 minutes, 6 seconds long. Good
A
match.
much better match
Cesaro's.
than I thought it was going to be.
They beat the shit out of each other.
It did.
Cesaro's losing streak continues. With this match, it was a 10-match losing streak. That does not stay the same on SmackDown this week. I won't say anything else.
Wait, did he win on SmackDown?
No, it becomes an 11-match losing streak on SmackDown.
I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. But
and then I just say it. Just say it. Now, they have a Triple H mandated battle royale for the number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship on SmackDown, with the winner facing Ziggler later that night. According to the spoilers I read, Cesaro wins the battle royale, goes on to face Ziggler. Ziggler wins with a roll up, but Cesaro has his feet on the ropes, which I'm sure is going to set up for those two having a match at Hell in a Cell, which would probably be a really good match because those are two really good workers.
Except Cesaro still won't win the Miz.
He can go do something else. He's got to go be in movies.
Because Miz and Damian Sandow right now are one of my favorite things about Raw.
And speaking of whom, they were up next. The Miz with Damian Mizdow. Get it right. With Dolph Ziggler. Defeated Dolph Ziggler and R. Ziggler. With R. Ziggler. Damian following the Miz to the ring and mimicking his every move, even during the matches, is one of my favorite things.
Even better on Raw when he had the paper Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
It was so good.
The Miz did win this. Match went on 9/22. By that same virtue, though, the thing with, like, R. Ziggler, you can't tell him apart from Dolph Ziggler. That kind of pisses me off.
I was pissed that they didn't go with my ending where Mizdow and Ziggler get into the match and one pins the other, and that's how the match ends because the referee can't tell that anyone different is in the ring.
The ref just shrugs and counts it. Yeah, fuck it, three.
Yeah.
Even though The Miz won at the pay-per-view, Ziggler won the title back the next night. Obviously, because we just said he had a fucking number one contender battle royale on SmackDown.
Confuses me why they did that.
Reasons. No, they probably just wanted to get the title change on the pay-per-view to make it look good. Because that gives you three title changes at Night of Champions.
Well, they could have had Cesaro beat Sheamus and...
I mean, by that logic, they could have just had Cesaro beat Ziggler, but, I mean, you know.
Not on SmackDown. They're not going to have a title change on SmackDown, you crazy?
No, I mean at the pay-per-view. They could have just wrote it to where Cesaro... Because there was no reason for Sheamus and Cesaro. Cesaro didn't win any kind of battle royale to get a shot at the title.
There really wasn't. Like, hey, you two guys are fighting for the title because it's a championship, and that's what this show's gimmick is, so have fun.
Yeah, have fun, guys. Next up, in a match that went 0 seconds, Seth Rollins defeated Roman Reigns by forfeit. Wow!
Hey, that match went 10 seconds because I had to count him out.
They strapped that rocket to Roman Reigns' ass, and I guess whoever strapped it on did it wrong because he was in the hospital having a hernia repaired.
Yeah.
As I mentioned on the Twitter page, I wasn't
on the
keen
Twitter
for,
page.
On the Twitter page. Oh my God, is your dad in my brain? What's going on? As I mentioned on the Twitter tweets, I did not really want Roman Reigns to be like the guy yet. But this is not how I wanted that to come about. Get well soon, Roman.
I am still a big fan of Roman Reigns, and
I don't hate Roman Reigns. Did you I don't know if you noticed this, they had a match on SmackDown a while ago, where it was a tag match where Roman was in one corner and Seth was in the other. And Seth just got real close to the corner and Roman like leaned in, and if you read his lips, he was yelling at Seth, "I still love my little brother, you're always gonna be my little brother." And it's like, wow, that's like a really nice sentiment. You could almost kind of redo the Undertaker-Kane dynamic. If you establish that Roman Reigns hadn't gone up after Seth Rollins because he loves his little brother and he doesn't want to hurt his little brother and he doesn't want to fight him, and you could have a really cool story and dynamic. But no, let's just have Roman Reigns forgot about it and growls and screams and throws things. That works.
Because they don't want him to have character. He's a monster. He goes in, he punches people in the face, he spears them and leaves.
He's the Samoan submission machine. No, wait, that's wrong. I'm sorry. Oh, shit.
I don't think Roman Reigns knows one submission hold, so that's
He knows one submission hold, which is hold them down and keep punching them until they submit. Could you imagine that, though, if they did that whole angle where Reigns just refused to fight Seth Rollins and then, after teasing it for months, just fucking spears him? That crowd would go just come fucking unglued. But no. Believe that. That's way better. Way better. Dean Ambrose made his return there in what I thought was a really good return. I guess he had the WWE Network because he was watching Seth Rollins issue his open challenge on his smartphone as he drove up in that taxi cab.
That was so stupid. If Ambrose had just run out, it would have been fine. But no, to have him pulling up to the arena in a cab as Rollins is giving out his challenge. I want to know what device Ambrose has that picks up the WWE Network on like a 4G signal, because I can't hardly pick it up on my phone with a fucking Wi-Fi signal.
After he had his skull crushed by the concrete, he had some implants put into his brain, and he's just like wired to the network permanently.
Ambrose is a Wi-Fi hotspot.
What's the password? Fuck you.
Titty Master.
Titty Master 13. Next up.
Which, by the Rusev... way, when he came out, Noel Foley posted a tweet that says, I'd let him master my titties, and it made me very uncomfortable. I realize that she's like 20 now, but no.
Makes me kind of jealous, because I'd like to master them titties.
No, she is the five-year-old that is sobbing at her dad getting the shit kicked out of him and obsessed with nipples. She cannot talk like that.
Next up, a match running 9 minutes and 1 second. Rusev with Lana defeated sunburnt Kurt Angle.
Oh, God.
Mark Henry stretching out Kurt Angle's old singlets. Which is weird, because I thought they gave all those to Jack Swagger.
Maybe they were Jack Swagger's old singlet.
Not a bad match. Remember at one point Michael Cole screaming, Rusev's got the accolade locked in, and it very clearly was not locked in, because Mark's a little bigger than the guys Rusev usually puts in the accolade.
He doesn't bend backwards so well.
Yes.
I
see him struggling with that.
I get that they want to still build Rusev and he's got like this undefeated streak and all that stuff, but I'm getting a little tired of the we're fighting for America, and then when they lose, you let America down. I believed in you, Mark Henry.
I mean, how else are you going to rile up the NASCAR fans?
It's just so...
I mean, I guess you could have Rusev put Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the accolade, but...
It's just so, like, Cold War era wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, no one in 2014 believes in the superhero waving the American flag and kissing the babies and shaking hands. It's like, that's from an old time. You can still build the Russian heel, because Russia is the fucking heel. But it's like...
Because it's Russia.
But no one really believes in the all-American good guy hero anymore.
Yeah.
So that's just a tired storyline, and they already did it with Jack Swagger and it went nowhere, so don't do it to Mark Henry too, which they're already doing. I know Vince McMahon still likes to think this 1975, but it's not anymore.
Well, you know, with the regular injections, as far as Vince McMahon's concerned, it is 1975. He hasn't aged, except he very clearly has. Next up,
Monday Night Wars?
I watched like the first two episodes.
In some of the more recent ones, especially the ECW one, they have a lot of interviews from Vince McMahon over the like the last 10 years or whatever, and it's really weird to see one shot of him from an interview in like 2004 to an interview now, and
yeah,
it just looks like a melted skeleton.
Longest match of the event, 16 minutes 21 seconds. Randy Orton defeated Chris Jericho,
and boy did it feel like it was a 16 minute match.
I like I said, I kind of dozed off during this one. How many rest holds were there?
I don't know. I honestly did not pay that much attention to the match.
It's kind of hard to watch the last Chris Jericho match of this run now, because we always know how it's going to end.
Which it should have ended with the cage match.
It should have. It should have just been like, well, I'm done, guys. Bye.
Yeah.
Finish up on Raw, go home. No, you got to throw him on one last pay-per-view.
They still had those last two dates for him, so he had to show up on Raw on the pay-per-view.
They could have done anything in the world with him, but feed him to Randy Orton, why not? You know who he could have put over that would have been a really good match?
Bray Wyatt.
Rusev?
Rusev, yeah, that would have worked. And they couldn't have been the whole You Let Down America because Chris Jericho's Canadian.
That would have been a great angle. Fucking America can't do it. Time for Canada to step in. I'd have watched that match.
Then JBL could all, Canada never won nothing. And
yeah, fucking apologize, Canada. It's all you're good for. That and Timbits.
Yeah, that would have been a good way to get somebody over, but
No, just have Randy Orton put him in a rest hold and hit him with an RKO. Mm-hmm. That works fine, too. That works great. Next up.
See you in January, Jericho.
See you at the Rumble, Jericho. When we're all going to be like, oh my god, I can't believe Jericho was number 27 again.
It was this last year. Wait, was he at the Rumble in 2014?
He was. It was the one of the, because nobody realized he was coming at this Rumble this past year, and he came out at number one, so it was kind of like, oh shit, didn't see that coming.
He came out at number one?
Or no, he came out at number two, because Ziggler came out at number one. Didn't he? I'm thinking of year before. I'm thinking of 2013.
It might have been 2013 then.
Because 2014 was Punk was number one. Remember? Remember?
Who?
Hardcore Holly. It reaches a point. It reaches a point in the narrative of this podcast where every wrestler is either John Cena or Hardcore Holly.
Wait, now I've got to check. Well, it doesn't really matter, but it was one of the. It was either this year or last year, mm-hmm. where Matt was over here watching it, and my mom just kind of walks through the house and sits down, and Jericho's music comes on, and we're like, "Oh, hey, Chris Jericho's in this one," and then he comes out and the name flashes across the screen, Chris Jericho, and she looks back at us and like, how did you guys know that? And I'm like, because he's been using this music for 13 fucking years.
Yeah, it was 2013 was the last kind of surprise Jericho return. That was where it was right after Ziggler had got him fired back in November-ish. Ziggler had to come out at number one because he'd pissed off Vicky Guerrero, and then Jericho come out at number two. That was the year John Cena won, because they didn't have any other way to have him face The Rock.
Right.
Never forget, never forgive. Well, anyways, Jericho versus Rusev. I think that would have been a great match.
Going back to the whole getting Cena to face The Rock, that was, like, the most logical way to do it.
It was, but
not everything, like, not everything needs to be a surprise. Sometimes the most predictable is the most logical, and that's the way to go.
And sometimes it's just Batista wins the Rumble. Sometimes the most logical thing is to have John Cena win the Royal Rumble, and sometimes the most logical thing is to just don't have Batista show back up at the Rumble. Anyways, God, even Batista shits on his last WWE run now.
He does.
It's great. He's like, yeah, it kind of sucked.
Yeah, well, it's like, they had the plan for him that he was going to win the Rumble and then face Randy Orton. And I CM Punk leaving threw one wrench into those plans. And also just the insane reactions for Daniel Bryan. Like, they couldn't not capitalize on it.
Yeah. Well, they could have not capitalized on it. They damn sure tried to, but that backfired on them even harder.
They like to pull off now that it's like, oh no, the whole thing going into the triple threat, that was all what we planned on doing and having him win the title. It's like, that wasn't your fucking plan. You were going to have him fight Triple H. That wasn't
even close.
Or no, the original plan was to have him and Sheamus this year, wasn't it?
Yes. The match that they have been trying to do for 5 years now. They had one chance to do it, and they did that whole 18 seconds thing, which admittedly worked out great, but now they're like, we're going to fucking have that match for sure.
Yeah.
Which they don't need to do because of the 2012 Extreme Rules, they already had their fucking awesome match. You should just watch that match if you want to see an awesome Bryan Sheamus match.
But no, they have to have it at WrestleMania.
Well, they can just fucking replay that one at WrestleMania, then.
No, they need to have it at WrestleMania.
Spot for spot remake of that match. Never mind that it doesn't make sense that Bryan's a face now. Just do it. Just do it.
So yeah, with the Punk leaving and Bryan's explosion of popularity and then subsequent injury, I think that everything that they had planned for Batista kind of got thrown out the window. And yeah,
you can kind of tell WWE's been calling audibles for a very long time right now.
Oh yeah,
it's all kind of spiraled out of control. Right now with the Lesnar thing, it's kind of helping them because it gives them a little breathing room, because Lesnar's going to be I hate to admit this, but Lesnar's going to be a draw no matter who you put him up against because he's Brock fucking Lesnar.
Pretty much.
I mean, almost anybody. Nobody's going to pay to see Brock Lesnar beat the fuck out of The Miz for 2 minutes.
I would.
Well, I don't know. Actually, I might watch that, actually. As soon as those words left my mouth, I was like, no, The Miz would be killed. That would be a great match.
Or it'd be even better if, like, he got the F5 and then Sandow's just somehow bleeding on the outside.
Why is Sandow laying down?
He's laying in a puddle of vomit and urine and blood.
Is that whose vomit, urine, and blood Lesnar's bringing to the ring? He just, like, brings out Miz down and just starts, like, wringing him like a washcloth. Oh my god. Next up, technically the second shortest match, not the shortest, thanks to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Divas triple threat match. Clocking in at 7 minutes 42 seconds. AJ Lee, now a 3-time Divas champion. By the time this AJ Lee Page feud is over, they're both going to be 10-time Divas champions.
Someone pointed out somewhere that, like, the only two champions we've had this year trading the title back and forth have been AJ and Paige. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with that.
Now, I think it was Brie Bella actually kind of dropped this little tidbit in an interview. I was just reading this on WrestleZone. Evidently, there is kind of an not publicized rule that Vince is currently enforcing, where the people on the stars of Total Divas are not allowed to win the Divas Championship.
Which sort of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because if they win the title, it's just going to be perceived as plugging the show.
Yeah. Which really, for right now, just leaves you with AJ and Paige. I mean, you put Emma on there, but then you're going to have to hit that point where somebody's like, oh my god, Emma stole the title. No, wait, we don't mean it like that.
Which I'd be fine with them putting Emma in there too, because she's a really good wrestler.
She is.
She's far better than her gimmick.
Emma's good. Charlotte will probably get called up pretty soon. They're going to have to start beefing up or reinforcing their Divas division. I guess you could put the belt on Alicia Fox again. She's fun to look at.
Yeah.
Anyways, I did not see this match. I keep meaning to go back and rewatch the pay-per-view, but the rest of it was so just kind of soul-crushing that I haven't got around to it. Mike, would you like to say anything about this match?
Well, the show overall, it had like three really good matches to open it, and then you had Rusev and Mark Henry and Randy Orton and Jericho, and they really brought the show down.
Once Dean Ambrose left the arena, it kind of just from there.
This match, the Divas match, was far better than I expected with Nikki being in it. I didn't know that she was as good as she actually was in this. And finish was fine. I like that AJ won the title back. It just adds more fuel to her and Paige's feud. I liked even more on Raw that Paige was finally given up on the whole silly, like, we're friends, but we don't like each other sort of bullshit that they've been building.
Is she going to stop saying frenemy?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, they asked her about that. It's like, is AJ still your frenemy? And they're like, no, we're not friends anymore. We're only enemies. It's like, good.
Thank God. It's real hard to take you serious as a badass anti-diva when you call people your frenemy.
Yeah.
So, yay. Bring on the just hardcore evil lesbian overtones.
I think they're even killing the lesbian thing, too.
I'm okay with that.
Eh.
Mike was really enjoying it, but okay. As long as those two just gotta roll around a little bit, he's fine.
Well, I thought that it was, like, not to just sound like a pervert, I thought that it was an interesting, different twist on a diva storyline that we haven't really seen before, because like, they've said that they were going to do something like that, but every time they start heading down that path, one of the girls freaks out, and, I don't want to kiss a girl.
They found the two girls who would willingly do it.
But, yeah, they're ending that, too.
Yeah, give it a few years. Vince will try to do it with the Bellas.
Ew.
Would you really put it beyond Vince McMahon?
No.
The man who tried to do a storyline where he impregnated his own daughter?
Is he the man who on, like, one episode was visibly checking out his daughter's cleavage?
This is why people can't take wrestling fans seriously.
Maybe the
As I think about it now, maybe it's not that Randy Savage banged an underage Stephanie McMahon. Maybe he caught Vince banging an underage Stephanie McMahon.
Hey Vince, what you? Oh no!
Oh
Oh no, Vince! That ain't a Slim Jim. Don't snap into that, Vince.
no.
I like to imagine he had like handfuls of like coffee creamer too.
He crushes them and white fluid goes everywhere.
He's
Anyway.
like, Vince, I got a great idea for it, and then he's
No!
no, Elizabeth.
I love Randy Savage so much.
Oh my God, Vince, you were in there and it was just ooh. Anyways,
Randy, you're fired.
I'm going to WCW. Oh yeah. Longest match of the show.
Longest match of the show. Or second longest match of the show at 14 minutes, 10 seconds. John Cena defeats Brock Lesnar. Technically. I think that's the best way they could have ended this. You can't do the 16 German suplexes again. That match works approximately once.
Yeah.
John Cena just beats the shit out of Brock Lesnar, who takes the DQ.
Now, a lot of people were upset with this, saying that it weakened Lesnar
What?
because John Cena got way more offense than he did last time, which makes sense. He probably, like, if you want to think about it as a real sport, he studied what he did. He studied Brock, got a little
Yeah.
bit of an edge on him. Okay, cool.
In a way, you kind of have to weaken Lesnar now, though, because somebody else has to beat him at some point.
That was the point I was trying to make to everyone that was upset about this. It's like, okay, they mentioned that he walked through the Big Show at Royal Rumble. He defeated The Undertaker at WrestleMania. He just annihilated Cena at SummerSlam. Now, as we're heading towards the point where he's going to lose the title, you need to make him mortal again.
Yeah. At some point, Shao Kahn has to lose the helmet.
Yeah. So it's like I don't really have a problem with people getting a little bit of an upper hand on Lesnar. I mean, he still looks like a beast right now, but by the time he loses the title, whoever he's going to lose it to, you need to at least make it believable, because right now there's no one who can believably beat Brock.
Yeah, I think this was the best way to go about it. Cena technically gets his win back. Brock Lesnar looks a little bit more beatable to whoever comes down the line, but at the same time, Brock Lesnar is still the chicken shit heel who kept his title in the cheapest way possible. That's a great finish. You could have done that finish at SummerSlam and it would have been great. Well, I guess you couldn't have because Lesnar won the title at SummerSlam, but you get my point.
Well, if you had done a thing like that at SummerSlam, it wouldn't have gone over. Like, this is a B pay-per-view. You
Yeah.
can get away with DQ finishes on a B pay-per-view. I don't really like it, but it's acceptable because it's not one of the big shows. If you did a DQ finish at WrestleMania or SummerSlam
Oh.
or Rumble, there'd be an
Ooh.
outcry.
Yeah. God, Night of Champions isn't even a B pay-per-view anymore. It's like C-list. It's fucking. There's five titles.
That's the thing that I pointed out too, is like Night of Champions seemed like a much bigger deal when there was like nine championships. Now
Yeah.
that there's five and they have to have three matches on the card that aren't for titles, it's like, eh, it's not really a thing anymore.
Yeah. You've got five titles and only one of them is built up to mean anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Although they've been making a go with the Intercontinental title.
They have. It's definitely with the main title off TV, it has really helped the Intercontinental title. And by helping the Intercontinental title, you're going to help the US Championship also, because right now what's hurting both of them is that they're both kind of on the same level. If you can just elevate one, the other one's going to become a little more special, and that's going to help it.
Well, I think that all they need to do is make people want the championship and fight for the
Yeah.
championship. It's like doing this whole bullshit where it's like, okay, yeah, you walked into the room when we were booking the show, so you are the number one contender for the title. Like, that shit
Yeah.
doesn't make them seem important at all.
Now, the Intercontinental Championship is also being helped by the fact that Bad News Barrett has just said he'll be back sometime around December. And I think what's going to happen is come December, the IC title is going to become a real big fucking deal when he comes back and very loudly demands it back.
Hopefully.
I don't see how that's not the plan. Especially after he came out and cut a whole promo about, I'm going to come back and get that fucking belt back. That being said, he could come out dressed like a Monster Energy can. Bad news dust.
He's the what happens when you use the Cosmic Key.
They just clang the tag titles together and Bad News Barrett shows up on the scissor lift?
Yes.
Oh my god, sure, why not? Fuck it, let's go for it. Because I love Bad News Barrett. I love Wade Barrett. I didn't think I would after Nexus. But goddamn, what a guy.
Now in NXT, I saw that like he was going to be something if they actually went with him. And unfortunately, he's had a lot of injuries that have not allowed him to get as high up the card as he should be. But
I was saying right before the injury he had a while ago, the elbow injury that knocked him out for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I was positive he was on his way to get rocketed up to the world heavyweight title.
Yeah, hopefully he can stay healthy for like I said that. Like, with the crop of talent that they got right now, including guys who are injured, if they stay the course with a lot of them, then this time next year we will have a very strong main event title picture.
So this time next year we're going to have Orton versus Cena.
Yeah.
Special guest referee, Brock Lesnar.
I mean, like, if you look at what happened on Raw, Ambrose and Rollins looked like they belonged with Cena and Orton. They're still building up Rusev, kind of iffy on where they'll head with him. They could make him monster main event heel. He could end up in a comedy tag team with Tensai.
Now Tensai is retired, but Santino's coming back.
Oh.
Santinsev.
And he
Rusatino.
And he has a history of tagging with former Monster Russians.
I cannot wait for the Tea Party 2.0 with Santino and Rusev, and I guess it'll be Cesaro. And who's going to come out and save them from Cesaro and give the speech about bullying? You think they'll just get John Morrison back?
It'll be Sheamus.
Remember, oh, fella, I learned this lesson a long time ago.
He was bullied for being short and pale and fat. I was like, no, you're Irish. How are you bullied for looking like every other person in your country?
Oh, God, that angle. Sometimes I'm like, man, I kind of enjoyed John Morrison. And then I think about angles like that, and I'm like, no, he's probably better off in his Hercules knockoff movies. And what is it, AAA he's in?
Yeah, well, he's going to be part of this American AAA.
Yeah. I think Maxine's a part of that now,
mm-hmm.
And Del Rio's there, obviously. They've got a pretty impressive roster. They'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
Rey Mysterio will be there in about 9 months.
Or at least his left knee will. Held together with miracles and wishes, and by the time he gets there, steroids.
Because there's no wellness policy in Mexico.
There's no wellness. The Mexican wellness policy is don't drink the water.
And they followed up this pay-per-view, which was not awful, with a fucking abysmal episode of Raw.
I didn't watch Raw, and then I started to go watch it, and before I watched it, I was like, I'm gonna go check Mike's Twitter and see if anything could happen on Raw. And the first tweet I saw was, will that Raw happen? And I was like, so I don't need to watch that then.
Yeah, there was nothing of note on that show. It started off really, really strong, and I was excited for the next 3 hours, and they immediately killed it.
How'd they kill it?
What was the first match? I don't even remember. But they started out with Ambrose and Cena. Cena was pissed that Rollins cost him the match, and Ambrose still wants to get his hands on Rollins. Mm-hmm. And so they were out there being like, no, I'm going to be the one who fucks him up. And it looked like they were going to start fighting until the Authority comes out. And they're like, no, no one's going to fight tonight. And Cena's like, bullshit, and jumps out. Him and Ambrose both jump out and make a beeline for Rollins. And it was a really good opening brawl. And then they went into like some six-man with the Usos and Sheamus against the Dust Brothers and Cesaro. And it was just like regular paint-by-numbers Raw.
Oh God, yeah, I'm looking at results and this looks terrible. Bo Dallas and Jack Swagger are still going at it.
Oh God, yeah, that feud. That fucking feud. Talk about two guys you dropped the ball with.
Oh my God.
I still got the whole thing with Swagger.
They had a Mark Henry Rusev rematch.
Yeah.
Nikki Bella. What is even the goddamn point of watching the pay-per-views anymore? Oh, and then, of course, they finished off with the cherry on top of the shit Sunday. John Cena versus Randy Orton.
Remember when 3 years ago when they had their match and they're like, this is the last time we're going to face each other?
I can't even think about how many times it's been since then. And of course, winner by DQ, John Cena. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hopefully Hell in a Cell is better.
Which, that was another thing, too, that it's like, okay, Cena got cost the title because of a run-in. Next month, we have a show that the gimmick is a big cage.
So it'll probably be a last man standing match, then.
Of course.
Now, it is worth noting, Brock Lesnar is not currently penciled in for Hell in a Cell.
They might not use him.
I think that'd be more interesting than using him, honestly, if he was just like, nah, that one's not important enough for me.
But, Christopher, there is the rule where the champion must defend his title once every 30 days.
Lesnar can name somebody to compete in his place, and it's a returning Bobby Lashley.
What?
Isn't he? Just kidding. He's too busy in TNA, maybe not being in the title picture, depending on how his MMA bouts go.
Isn't he the TNA champion right now?
Spoilers.
I'm going to their website right now because I'm not sure because I haven't watched TNA in about 3 months.
I believe he is right now, but as of one of the previous TV tapings, not so much.
Wow. Oh, the TNA roster page. This is a sad fucking picture.
Oh, wow. They don't have anybody. Yeah. Lashley is currently their champ, but he lost it to Bobby Roode at one of the last TV tapings. They just kind of shook up their entire championship, actually, over at TNA. Largely because I guess some of those people may not be under contract much longer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was seeing that a couple deals are coming up.
Mm-hmm. I think Gail Kim dropped her title, and I feel like Joe dropped the X Division title also, but I can't remember.
Well, Joe dropped his title because he got hurt.
That's right. I think Manic wins it. Wow, look at the alumni. Look at the alumni!
Like, they always dust Manic off when some X Division guy gets hurt and they need to stick it on someone who no one cares about.
Yeah, here.
Remember when he was Suicide and he was played by Chris Daniels? Shh!
We can't talk about him anymore.
We can't sell toys that say Suicide on them.
Yeah. Austin Aries and Gail Kim's contracts are about to expire. Kurt Angle's officially expired Sunday.
Mm.
Oh, God. Did you see me tweet that? Could you imagine if Rusev beat Henry and then Kurt Angle's music hit?
Oh, the place would have exploded.
Oh, I'd have had to change my pants.
But Triple H doesn't want Kurt Angle there.
Neither does Vince McMahon, so that's not going to happen.
Wasn't it like Triple H said, sorry, thanks, but no thanks, Kurt, and then Kurt called Vince, and Vince was like, hey, it's Triple H's job to hire talent, and that pissed Triple H off because Kurt tried to go over his head?
From my understanding, Vince has made it adamantly clear there is only one mistake they could really make, and that would be letting an Olympic gold medalist die in their ring. Mm. So, I don't think they will hire him back. If they do, he will not be cleared to compete. They'll give him a talk show segment, or he'll be a commentator or a trainer. He won't be a competitor.
They should give him a WrestleMania match. And, like, just to let him finish his career in WWE.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But Brian's not going to be in the title picture when he comes back. Have him face Brian. Angle versus Brian as Angle's retirement match.
Oh, my God. No, seriously. Look at the TNA alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the people they have let get away from them.
Yeah, it is a who's who of missed opportunity.
I can't believe, as often as she's been showing up at the Rosebuds, that WWE won't do anything with Rosita.
Well, is she not in developmental?
No. I don't believe so. I think she's just a Rosebud.
Mm.
She should be in developmental, because she's fucking great. Oh, my God. AJ Styles, Brian Kendrick, Chavo Guerrero, Chris Daniels.
Who's this Hulk Hogan guy? He's not going to go anywhere. Man,
Hulk Hogan. God, fucking octogenarian. Oh, Joey Ryan. I completely forgot about Joey Ryan.
Is it bad that I didn't know that he wasn't in TNA anymore?
I am seeing some of those where I'm like, I was like, Chavo left?
Like Douglas Williams, Joey Ryan. Like, oh, I guess they're not there anymore.
I didn't know. I didn't fully realize Mickie James was gone. I thought she was just out on pregnancy, but no. Taylor Hendricks is gone.
The only reason I knew Christopher Daniels and Kazarian left is because they've been on Ring of Honor.
Yeah. Oh, TNA.
That should show you the state of TNA when I've seen more Ring of Honor than I have TNA in the last 3 months.
Hey, we've been going long. We're going to call this one.
All right.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Tweet us at The Homeworld or at No Dice Mike or at JC Baggy or at The Flatulent Cow or at The Homeworld or I already said at The Homeworld or at Raw Reactor or at Indium Wrestling or find us on Tumblr or go to youtube.com/homeworldvideo. Don't go to youtube.com/NoDiceMike.
Go there because it's got all the videos that are better than Chris's. All of them better to watch for your eyes.
Make sure you watch this morning's Mortal Kombat or don't. I don't care.
I think this is the episode where you did not get one win in.
I was so fucking tired when we recorded those. I really should have stopped after the first one. Because I could not do anything. I'm just going to have to train really hard so the next time we record, I can whip your ass.
It is hilarious to listen to you just be like, nothing is working! None of the buttons! I didn't even press that one! Why are you doing that?
I was kind of like slowly losing my mind.
And then I saw like the next day you tried to edit something and your editor broke.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was trying to edit the Mortal Kombat video and it just didn't work. I was very close to being like, you know what? They're all on Mike's channel from now on. Fuck it. I'm done.
You're like, okay, so nothing is going to work. All right. I'm going to go to bed.
Fantastic. But it's okay because I'm off tomorrow. So I'm going to call this and do some video editing because I also have to put together some Super Sentai single shots, which thank you very much for making those the most popular videos on the channel. I don't know why. I don't know how. I'm not going to question it.
Mm-mm.
That's not what I would have expected to be the most popular thing on the channel.
Which we've got to probably do more soon, don't we?
We are kind of coming up on that buffer, so that'll be in the works soon. We still got a little bit.
I know we still got like 3 weeks worth of stuff, but
oh, we got way more than 3 weeks worth of stuff, man.
Didn't you start putting them up twice a week?
No,
no,
they're still going. No, I said I might when we hit Zero Ranger, might start putting them up weekly.
Oh, okay.
Right now they're still every other week. And with everything else going up on the channel, I'm okay with that for right now. So I'm going to feel that out once we hit Zero Ranger. For right now, I'm okay with it. We do have one very dedicated fan to the Super Sentai single shots, whose name I can't remember because it's a YouTube profile name. Fiery something? And Jesse. Hi, Jesse. I hope you're listening.
I'm going to go on the home world and I'm going to see who it is.
I'm pulling it up right now. It was so cool because the guy was like, oh my god, can you please do Dynaman? And I was like, Dynaman is Wednesday.
He's not on the most recent one, Bioman.
Fiery Unite. I don't know who you are, but thank you for being such a fan.
I'm not seeing any comments on these. Where are you?
There's one on number 7 on Dynaman.
There's one comment. Our most dedicated fan, thank you for leaving one comment.
Seriously, Dynaman has 110 views.
Wow.
Yeah. They are by far the most popular thing we're doing right now. By comparison, the very first round of the Mortal Kombat tournament, the first like proper round that we promoted has 35 views.
You are getting way more viewers on them than I am.
By comparison, my Lego Marvel Super Heroes Let's Play, none of those videos have more than 10 views. No, I take it back. Part 3 has 21 views. Lego Marvel Superheroes, not a popular Let's Play.
So let's see here. What on my channel?
Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.